Barrett.
And I'm Erin Hayes.
And welcome to Business Beat on WICN. Erin, who do we have on the show today?
Today we're going to be speaking with Fred Kalin, Executive Director of Shine Initiative.
This is a not-for-profit, which is a wonderful example of a small company that does great things. I think that the content of this episode is going to be really, really important. So I hope you guys stick around to listen. Without any further ado, let's get to the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the next edition of Business Beat. I'm Ian Barrett. I'm here with Erin Hayes from Media Boss, and I'm here with David Ginsberg from WICN. David, we have a very special guest today. Could you please introduce our guest?
Very happy to welcome Fred Kalin from the Shine Institute.
Fred.
So happy to have you here.
Welcome to Business Beat.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
No, good, good. Since you've got some familiarity, why don't we start with you opening the first question?
Sure. So, and you'll do a better job of explaining what you do than I will, but mental health is a top priority in the country. There's a crisis happening in America. We're seeing it. Our young people are especially afflicted with it. You're taking action steps to do something about it. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Shine Initiative does mental health awareness and education for young people, specifically in schools, so in middle and high schools. We started in central Massachusetts, and we actually go into schools, present to faculty and to kids to destigmatize mental health. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about it. And then we also will stay year-round in the schools. And that was the big part that 4 or 5 years ago, young people said to us, you know, but once you leave, what's the follow-up, right? So we do year-round groups, really teams. They're called Mind Matters teams in middle schools and high schools throughout central Massachusetts.
And is the plan to grow throughout the state and then eventually go regionally or nationally?
Well, our first step is to go through the state, throughout the state. So 2 years ago, we're in 18 schools total in the area. We're in 42 now, so we're aiming at 50. So we're growing outside of Central Mass right now, kind of Metro West area and a little bit Neshoba Valley area. You know, one of the things about Massachusetts, it's hyper-local. So the second, you know, everyone sort of says, oh, we're Neshoba Valley.
So I love to hear origin stories. Can you tell me, how did this begin?
Yeah, so this is a very unique story. Fidelity Bank, Fidelity Cooperative Bank, which is located in north central Massachusetts in Leominster, about 15 years ago, they said to their employees, what is a need that you don't see lots of organizations really doing anything about? And youth mental health is what came up from this group of employees. And so the bank decided to put the majority of its philanthropic dollars towards this. And that's really how the Shine Initiative was born. And then, you know, within a year or two, you know, from it being employee volunteers to having its first executive director, and then 4 or 5 years ago, becoming a team of three. So we're a small but mighty team that's doing all this work right now, like lots of nonprofits in the area.
Wow, that's really cool.
It's no mistake that school-age children are the focus. Why do you feel the pressure exists, or how is it different now than it was 20 years ago?
So one of the things that we've seen in the past 20 years is suicide rates for young people have been skyrocketing. We also know that 50% of all lifetime cases of mental illness is present by the age of 14. So that's really where Shine's emphasis to say, let's really start talking to young people. Let's normalize conversations about mental health the same way conversations about physical health happen all the time. You know, someone
exactly.
breaks an ankle, or, you know, someone in your classroom has an allergy or diabetes or those kinds of things. You know those things, and you sort of have an idea of, you know, how to support each other, you know, in a sort of diverse community. But that often, you know, mental health conversations often stay kind of in silence. And we also know that young people, you know, are more likely to ask for help if they have a trusted adult, you know, in their lives. And so that's something when we work with adults, we really talk about. You don't have to be an expert. Everyone doesn't have to be a therapist, you know, but if you're just a trusted adult, then that's where, you know, someone's likely to speak up.
Oh, the stigma that you're referring to, do you think that's based in the fact that people don't really have the tools to deal with something and they're afraid to have a conversation because they don't want to say the wrong thing, or they are afraid to, well, they have no knowledge, so they either have nothing to offer or they're going to say the wrong thing, and then there's a liability there. How do you have people walk that line, or how can you encourage people to develop those tools?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. One of the things we talk about is that it's hard to combat stigma itself because it is this amorphous thing.
Right.
But if you normalize the conversation and give young people more information, because, you know, often people hesitate when they don't have enough information. And that's true for faculty members too. So one of the things we just are launching actually right now and is an app specifically for teens to give them some information to, you know, kind of use technology in a good way, rather, you know, as an extension of the community and the conversation that we're having. And, you know, that's something that, again, giving young people information directly, you know, it doesn't have to always go through all these official channels like, you know, maybe it did in the past. Technology allows them to have so much information at their hands that can be overwhelming to them. To give them some that helps them check in with themselves, pay attention to their minds, is something that we're trying to do as well.
How would you work with technology to serve the community?
We got a grant from the Health Foundation of Central Massachusetts to do a mobile responsive website and this companion app. And really, you know, there's a lot of research that shows that some of why young people are struggling is because they're overwhelmed by technology, and that even though it's supposed to connect them, it's actually very isolating. And so we're trying to, you know, be where young people are, mobile devices, phones, and use that technology as an extension of the conversation and of the sort of community, you know, we're trying to create. You know, when we're in these different schools, you know, some of them are very rural. They might be out in the, you know, Barry area. You know, others, you know, we're in Worcester Public School, so, you know, very urban and diverse. And once a year, we get young people together at a student wellness summit. And they always say, gee, we wish we could cross-fertilize and meet each other more times during the year. So the technology will also allow them to sort of feel connected to the larger community of Shine than just, you know, their peers in their schools.
So it's not just a hive mind, it's a hive support network.
Yeah, exactly.
With people
exactly.
who are familiar with the situation.
Yep.
I feel like, you know, one of the things that I see, and this is obviously a curriculum-based observation, you know, as we want our kids to do better in school and take on more and learn more, pressure has increased quite a bit. And one of the other things is that, you know, back in the 50s, it was like reading, writing, arithmetic, right? People have seven different intelligences, and we're still dealing with grading criteria on a limited skill set. So I feel like a lot of this depression, a lot of this angst, comes from people not being recognized for what they're good at and seeing value in it. How do you change that?
Yeah, that's how do we change it? That's a great question. You know, one of the things that we talk about a lot with schools is really letting young people express themselves the way they're most comfortable and sort of naturally. So when we talk about coping skills with young people and with educators, what teens tell us the most common things is, you know, music. A lot of, you know, I think we all can relate to, you know, listening to music as an emotional expression or creating your own music, and also art, you know, art and with technology, graphics and those kinds of things. So in a lot of schools, you know, the arts have gotten cut back on how much you're doing, right?
Exactly.
At a time when a lot of young people will say, well, that's really where it's not just about the math and the formula, it's about kind of expression, it's about self-expression. So in our groups, in our teams, you know, different things that young people have done around that is, you know, they've held poster contests so that the, you know, kids who are really artistic and want to design posters around mental health awareness sort of, you know, get involved in that. They've, you know, done painting, done songs, those kinds of things. So, you know, one of the things we often talk about is how mental health, really mental wellness, touches on everything we do. You know,
absolutely.
Outdoor time, you know, getting, you know, a lot of young people don't get enough time outside. And we all, you know, physiologically, the research shows, you know, taking a 20-minute walk and getting some fresh air and a little bit of sunshine does wonders for sort of dropping our tension levels down, our stress levels down. And yet a lot of young people don't get 20 minutes a day outside anymore.
Recess is only 15 minutes.
Exactly.
And recess ends at middle school.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. You know, and I have a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old, and, you know, sometimes recess, you know, in the winter, it's 15 minutes long, but it takes 5 minutes to get the jacket on and off. And so, you know.
We don't have recess right now because of Triple E.
Right.
So, yeah,
right,
and that's been difficult, I know, for schools.
So we're just going to take a moment to get into some of the detail about the studio that we're in, Studio 50 at WICN. Studio 50 is located at WICN Public Radio at 50 Portland Street in Worcester, in the heart of the artistically emerging Grid and Theater District, and is now open for business. Full digital recording studio with Avid C24 mixing board and Pro Tools, 24-hour access, acoustic grand piano, and state-of-the-art acoustically engineered live room that can be used for performance or recording. This exciting location resides inside WICN Public Radio, taking you from conception to broadcast possibilities. Producers, engineers, coaches are all on staff. Recording training is available. Take your next project to Studio 50 and be inspired. If you're thinking about podcasting, or you're thinking about creating content, or you're thinking about recording music, give them a call here at WICN and let them know. All right, well, now back to our interview.
All right, so it's all that pent up. So let's get back to, I want to reverse to something you mentioned, which I think is very, very important, and this is academic as well, which is diet, and that the truth of the exercise and the diet are critically important.
Yep.
When you consume processed foods, when you consume unhealthy food. You don't create the building blocks for your endorphins, which get built in your gut and then go to your brain. Yeah. So the truth of it is, if you're not eating properly and exercising properly, there's no way for you to release endorphins to your brain, mm-hmm. and you do it. So that this depression is physical, mm-hmm. and can be in some ways corrected by diet. How would you advise people to work with that?
One of the most common things that young people and educators that we talk to say is they can't believe that sort of gut health is connected so much to how we're feeling.
It's 100%.
In terms of depression and anxiety. And the research in the past decade has really clearly outlined that. And processed foods and, you know, things like that that are sort of a staple of the American diet, unfortunately, do exactly the opposite of what you want. So we talk a lot with young people. One of our brochures that we give out and now, you know, is available on our website, so it's not, we don't have to hand it out as a brochure, right? Is exactly about what you eat, you know, affects how you feel. You know, you are what you eat, you know, kind of in a literal sense. You know, but it's also hard because when you're talking to teenagers, you know, I remember when I was 15, you know, I thought I could eat anything, yes. and you know.
Well, you can. You have, the body's right. an amazing thing. You can eat bark if you want
right,
to.
Right.
Your body's going to work like heck to bark. Process
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So when people say, like, "Oh, I eat Doritos all the time," I'm like, "Okay, it's going to catch up with you. It eventually will." In fact, there was a teenager in England who had only eaten carbohydrates, chips, and whatever. And he had a very limited diet, starches only, and he actually went blind because of the malnutrition that he had been. And he was just a picky eater. It's not a situation where he was under starvation or whatever. He was given as much as he wanted. So it is tremendous. So do you have advice on how you change that? I mean, I think that yogurt is like the number one thing to get it started, right?
Yeah. You know, when we talk about it, we talk about yogurt. You know, we also talk about getting enough sleep, which again, for teens, is a huge thing. We know the research is clear, you know, and if you would, you know, and so what we try to talk about them is just in moderation. So, you know, our new tagline is make time for your mind. Mm-hmm. And really all we're trying to get young people to do is make some of those small changes. You know, our app is meant to sort of remind them and prompt them of small things that help them, you know, through a day. And so if it's, you know, if you never eat yogurt a couple of times a week, you
right.
know, if you realize you're struggling and dragging, you know, try to get better about your sleep, you know, because right. it becomes a snowball effect too, right? The worse you feel, the harder it can be to sleep. And so it becomes this sort of thing that a lot of young people and a lot of adults too end up feeling like they're chasing. But it's all interconnected. And that's the, you know, when we talk about mental health awareness and how the system often separates physical health from mental health, we end up talking about how health is health. Like it's all connected, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, exactly these physical things, you know, I had a back injury this summer. And it affected my mood after a while because I couldn't do the things, exercise and et cetera, that I wanted to do.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, we talk all the time that, you know, part of normalizing talking about mental health is to normalize that talking about health in these very real. And young people need concrete things. You know, it needs to be, you know, do you ever eat yogurt? Maybe once a week. Okay, make it 3 times a week and let's see how we do. You know, they just need very concrete things.
I would also imagine that believing that you're doing something or like having a path. Right.
I think to me, and candidly, I've dealt with a lot of depression issues myself for 20 years, and it's, you know, it's a chronic thing that you deal with, and you get, thankfully, I've been able to get help, and you know, you work through things, but it's a brutal, and people don't understand how brutal it can be for kids. And I think part of, we touched on this earlier, is the stigma that's attached to mental health. There's especially, I think, there's an old archetype of men, especially, you know, you hold your feelings in and don't let anybody know you're struggling, which is nonsense, but that's the world a lot of us grew up in.
Absolutely.
So for the kids that are part of the Shine Initiative now, is part of the plan, as you look at the long-term growth of the next several years, they almost become ambassadors for good mental health for the next generation that comes up behind them, whether it's younger siblings or, you know, just cousins, friends, whatever, so that it becomes, as the generation grows, that stigma of seeking help, to your point, health is health, goes away, and we don't stigmatize the difference between mental health and physical health.
Absolutely. The schools that we've been in for, you know, 3 or 4 years now, you know, they've had some upperclassmen who, you know, have moved on, and, you know, often they sort of tap, you know, their the next leadership, you know, before they graduate and that kind of thing. And they really do become advocates in their own communities. One of the most common thing that the teens tell us is they ask us for advice on how to help parents and teachers to be more comfortable with the topic, because the young people are actually more comfortable than a lot of us of other generations, right? You know, my own parents, you know, have said to me when I, you know, told them what I'm doing at Shine now and everything, and they said, you know, gee, when you were 17, 18, nobody talked about this stuff. You know, so I'm in my mid-40s, so, you know, 20, 25 years later, to have, young people, you know, wanting to be a part of these clubs. You know, an after-school club where, you know, some kids go to chess, some kids go to sports, and some kids come to a Mind Matters team and talk about how do we keep addressing this with our peers. You know, is something that I think 20 years ago, if you went into a school and said, who wants to come do this after school? You'd probably get less of a response.
Right.
So being those ambassadors, you know, we've taken some young people in the past to the State House to do an advocacy day and, you know, hear, have lawmakers really hear from them about what they're struggling with. You know, a year ago, the Attorney General, Maura Healey, visited Fitchburg High School and our team there, you know, and talked about sort of the connection too between, you know, mental illness and substance use and, you know, those kinds of things that, again, all sort of swirl together.
Yeah.
So, but that idea of building a generation where it's going to be normal to just have these conversations is exactly what we're about.
Just have to have emotions.
Right.
And I wonder, I mean, maybe you don't see this because you're taking a holistic approach, but I mean, do you see a difference? You know, he's talking about how men are taught to keep their feelings inside and women are taught to eat their anger. I mean, do you have a gender-based program or is it just a holistic approach that makes everything more comfortable?
We're going to take a little second out of this interview to talk about why local radio is so important and what makes a station like WICN so important to a place like Worcester. Radio is an oasis for a community. As we move forward in technology, as we move forward in our social media and our tablets and our phones, one of the oldest technologies that exists is actually radio. And it's something that your grandparents and great-grandparents listened to. It's what brought them together. And it's wonderful that in this day and age, this is still a tool that a community can use to stay connected. What's great about the programming here at this station is that they have the full gamut of music with the full gamut of topics with DJs from all over that bring real expertise to it. And they also reach out to the community and become part of the events that go on. In the case of Arts Worcester, they're directly involved with some of the events that are happening, and you'll see more involvement going forward. So you need to get involved with WICN, and you should tell WICN what you're interested in so they can promote you. If you'd like to be on this program, please let us know. You can reach us here at WICN, and we'd love to have you and have you share your thoughts and share your inspiration for other people to become part of the Worcester community. And now back to our interview.
So it's not gender specific, but we do talk about owning all of your emotions.
Yeah.
And everybody, and you know, in middle school, a lot of kids think it's not okay to have big emotions in any direction, right? And to some degree, that's kind of what our, like, when you have a classroom, you know, I was a classroom teacher a long time ago. You don't want a lot of the big emotions, even like joy and happiness, because some kids are really loud, right? But what you don't realize doing is you're sending this message that like all of it is supposed to be kind of in this container. And that's not really healthy either, right?
No.
So what we talk about often is like, what are the good ways to outlet those different things? But related to what you're saying too, a lot of teens talked to us when we were designing our app and doing some focus groups on our website that they wanted to make sure that we didn't forget when we're talking about emotions, that we didn't forget about happiness,
mm-hmm.
and that they often feel like all they hear is, you know, sadness and anger and sadness and anger and anxiety and worry. And, you know, they were saying, you know, we need reminders sometimes of like, when was a moment I was happy and what was that about? And how do I remember those things with younger kids? You know, we tell them, you know, all of us get angry at some point, right? I mean, how many of us in our adult lives don't ever get angry in a week, right? And so you just knowing how to sort of find your way through that and just sort of, okay, this is okay for me to sit with, you know, so mindfulness becomes a part of also connected to what we do too, just being aware of your own emotions.
I'm curious, you know, it's now really two generations that, you know, kids are diagnosed very early on with ADHD, ADD on down the line and Medicaid, and how much is, and then, you know, they grow up and then in the teen years they're experimenting with other drugs and it becomes a sort of a cycle. We have an opioid crisis in this country. How much is, for the younger kids that are so medicated, whether they need to be or not, is that affecting their mental health, and how is Shine addressing that?
One of the things we talk about with medication is that it's been so helpful and life-saving for some people. And then also knowing that when you look at the numbers in certain populations, we seem to be overdoing it because we're medicating without looking at some of the other more holistic pieces, right?
Right.
So that's something when we do our education, we try to talk about, you know, kind of all of the pieces, you know, is an artistic outlet, is, you know, being more in nature, is eating well, is getting more sleep, part of the equation that someone is looking at. And that said, you know, many people, myself included, you know, family members and friends too, where certain medications were life-saving for them. And so that's something where you sort of have a strong stance in one direction or the other, other than to say we know lots of things, including medications, are helpful to people, and especially to young people struggling with mental illness. And Dave, I wanted to just go back to something you said earlier, too. We hear sometimes from young people, just being in their schools, when they have a Shine Mind Matters team in their schools, that it feels different going to that school, knowing it's sort of okay to be struggling with what they're struggling with. And you know, it's different to walk in that door knowing that's there. And that's sometimes even true from students who aren't actually active members in the team. It's just knowing my school is a place where this is talked about. And, right, and some of my peers are really spending time on it. You know, feels like, again, who I am is sort of validated in a way that you don't always see, so.
Yeah, and also understanding that a lot of times, especially when you're younger and your brain's not fully formed, but even as adults, we think we're the only ones experiencing something. We're the only ones that have felt this emotion or felt, that can increase your sense of isolation and desperation.
Absolutely.
And when you know that there's other people out there that are going through something similar that have felt the same way, it is very comforting to recognize that and know there's an outlet there for you and it's not just you.
Absolutely.
First of all, this is an amazing conversation to have, and obviously by having it, you know, bringing it out there and putting it on the show, this is part of our initiative, Ness, talk about it. It's something that goes on. And the other thing that I think is really interesting is that when you mentioned five-year-old, you said you have a five-year-old. Okay. One of the things that I notice is that even at a very young age, when they go to school for the first time, the first thing that happens is that they're standing in line, not making noise, sitting still, da-da-da-da. So what becomes is a whole lot of rules. Mm-hmm. Which means that even these little rules about not fidgeting in your seat and whatnot become things that they did wrong. And so by the end of a day in kindergarten, they come home exhausted with feeling, oh, I disappointed the teacher today, I moved in line, I was reprimanded, I didn't get my award. You know, that's the thing that really gets me. It happens at a young age. So where can we nip this in the bud? Because it's better getting it when they're younger and starting the conversation younger is obviously a little easier to unpack, right? Obviously.
You know, right now, Shine's experienced a lot of growth in the last couple of years, you know, as I talked about, and we're a relatively small endeavor still. But one of the most common requests we're getting now from districts where we're already in their middle school and high school is, can we go even younger? Let's go into the elementary. Let's talk about that. We're just beginning to sort of pilot that and what that would look like. But attached to that, there is kind of a national movement around we need to let kids be kids for health reasons, you know. And, you know, there is a push to, you know, recess needs to be longer. You know, kindergarten and first grade needs to, you know, again, allow kids to let out the big noise or the, you know, big emotion. And then how do I also contain it? You know, not contain it, but how do I let it out and then return to what we're all focused on? And so that's something that, you know, as we grow, you know, we want to look at, you know, certainly working with younger age groups, but also just to be a part of that, sort of amplify that conversation. You know, the American Pediatrics Association, you know, has recommendations around recess that haven't been followed by most traditional school districts for years. Right. And so, you know, literally like one of the bodies of health, you know, that everyone, you know, is supposed to look to has been saying not enough time,
right.
You know.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Let's move that forward. I want to talk about in a business setting, companies like Google, you know, your high tech companies are really very highly involved in employee lifestyle. You know, you've got the foosball tables and the break rooms and places to nap, places to sleep, places to get away. The quality of life for a worker is important. Their happiness is important. Making sure they have the food that they want to eat is important. It's really amazing to see that focus of the attention there, but you know, it shouldn't be just for high-tech workers and, you know, in the Valley. Yeah. It should be sort of all the way through our whole lifestyle. So if I was to come to you, do you have a set of recommendations for people around how to do it better every day?
We predominantly work with young people, so we don't have a set of recommendations specifically for employers. But one of the things, you know, that we talk about would just, you know, we kind of call them coping skills that are just recommendations, again, for teens, but are sort of good for everyone. But the awareness of mental health in the workplace and mental wellness, you know, is becoming something that's growing a lot. You know, some companies look at their bottom line. You know, if you have a healthier workforce, whether, you know, again, physical, mental, you often have a more productive, you know, the morale's better, those kinds of things. So there are, you know, there are other entities that do a lot in terms of employment, workplaces, and thinking about it. But to connect it kind of specifically to Shine, we just for the first time have our own offices here in the Printers Building. And one of the reasons we moved here in August is really to be one in the heart of Worcester. You know, so much is happening in sort of the grid district, et cetera.
We love Worcester.
Yeah,
love Worcester.
Exactly. And you know, again, we're Central Mass based. We started in North Central Mass, as I talked earlier, but you know, now the largest district we're in for schools is the Worcester Public Schools. But so much is happening, and to be in a building where so much of the arts, you know, Arts Worcester, WICN, all of these things are happening, some other nonprofits, and an arts-focused kind of district too. When we talk with young people about getting involved in these things, you know, some of the young people, we've connected them with Powwow Worcester and, you know, the murals that are going on, and all of a sudden that becomes sort of an outlet for them. You know, we work in South High School, and I know you guys have a group, David, I think soon coming in from South doing some musical stuff.
We do. We have a group of kids from South High School. They're going to be learning audio production here in Studio 50.
Right, oh, wow. Right.
So, you know, out of everything, yeah.
When we were talking about right. different outlets that allow you to be yourself.
Well, we're in Studio 50 right now, and there was a session here yesterday, right? Where you've got some.
We had one last week, and we have a session coming up this weekend. We're doing a live recording for a high school kid, a high school senior named Cam Campbell, who's by the time this airs, it'll have been done. But a 17-year-old jazz prodigy, his brother's the bass player in the band, they have a drummer. But that is, and his mother's very involved. He goes to private school. His mother's involved at the school. But jazz is his outlet, and he's one of the. When you talk to him, you think you're talking to a 30-year-old. You know, he has that poise to him. But again, that's that having that creative outlet and being able to then we're obviously thrilled to have in Studio 50.
That's great. Well, obviously this is a place that you could potentially take advantage of for an initiative you might need as well. We're extremely happy to have you here. And I think maybe we need to sort of recap like the key moments for any person being introduced to this for the teens. One of the things you mentioned about the teens in the workplace. Is it possible if I was an employer, like for instance, I worked in an ice cream shop or a pizza delivery place and I'm employing a lot of teens, can I tap you as a resource? How could I
yeah,
make that
absolutely.
Work?
Yeah, absolutely. And in two ways, you know, one would just be, you know, kind of informally with us as a resource. We have on our website a mental health toolkit, which is just sort of, again, it's you know, again, we're not therapists, we're educators. And so it's very plain language for people. And so that would be something helpful. Also, we are able to run courses on youth mental health first aid, which is actually a certification people can get. So you think of, you know, CPR and first aid that
wow.
people can learn. It's youth mental health first aid. And so we'll run those, you know, periodically, and often parents and, you know, other adults. So employers, you know, like you described, if someone worked with a lot of teens and wanted to be able to know those things, could come and be a part of that. So, you know, those things are, you know, listed on our website. It's shineinitiative.org. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that, again, with the technology, with the app, just letting people have more and more information at their fingertips, whether they're an employer, a caregiver, a teacher, you know, or again, a young person.
So the key is don't be afraid to ask for help when you see a young person struggling.
Yeah.
You've got a website now we can go to with a first aid toolkit, and hopefully, you know, you can do this. Things will improve as we talk about it
yeah,
more, right?
That's the goal is, again, you know, to have a generation where we start to see some of those numbers starting to, you know, come down because they're talking about it, because they know how to be a part of a supportive community and when they need professional help, where to go to. Because so often, no one knows where to start to turn mm-hmm. to look, particularly for this.
Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you for
on the show.
Me.
This has been really enlightening, and I appreciate the resources and appreciate the work that your
small company
is doing.
Thank you.
Doing.
Thanks so much.
Well, that was a really important show.
I'm so happy he took the time to speak with us today. I feel like we really learned a lot.
The resources are going to be available. Obviously, we've got the website information. We'll attach that information on the show. And if there's anything you can do to help out this wonderful organization, please do. And if you need the resources of this organization, obviously, use the toolkit. Thanks for listening to Business Beat on WICN. I'm Ian Barrett.
And I'm Erin Hayes.
And we'll talk to you again next week.